Recently, Mike Huckabee wrote, "Some books about opioids sound the fire alarm. This is the fire truck coming to put out the fire." He was talking about a new book called Living Beyond Pain, a holistic approach to manage pain and get your life back. And the authors of the book are Dr. Linda Mintel, and then there's also Dr. James Cribbs. We're going to talk right now with Dr. Linda Mintel about the subject of the opioid crisis and how we can solve it. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Mintel, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it. And I'm so glad you're bringing attention to this. I know a lot of Americans have heard about the opioid crisis, but it's just as Governor Huckabee said, we're trying to not only talk about the fact that there is a crisis, but we're trying to also tell people, hey, there are lots of other things that you can do besides taking an opioid that can really be helpful in dealing with your chronic pain.
Okay, and before we get into the subject at large, can you tell us about your own personal background? Are you, as I understand it, you're a professor at Liberty University. That's great. What do you teach?
I am a chair of a behavioral health at a college of osteopathic medicine, and so I teach student doctors, and we teach the neurobiology of addiction and issues. We talk about issues like this because any type of addiction is a chronic brain disease. Jerry, it's not a moral failure that a person is having, and I think that's really important for people to understand. There's so much frustration with people that are struggling with addiction, but really what happens in addiction is that the central nervous system gets changed, the brain rewires, and there are physiological reasons why people crave those drugs and have a lot of difficulty going off of those. So we need to be compassionate towards people who are struggling with addiction and do everything we can to help people off of addictive drugs and substances.
Sure. Okay, why don't you go ahead and explain what the problem is, and then we'll deal with the solution.
Well, there are 100 million people in the United States suffering from chronic pain today. And that's more, when you put them together, that's more than diabetes, cancer, and heart disease combined. So that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's about a third of the nation, really.
Yeah, and some figures, I read one the other day, a stat that said it was about 140 million people. So, you know, people have pain for all kinds of reasons. They may injure themselves and then hopefully the pain heals and they go on with their life. But in a lot of cases, there are fallouts from certain kinds of injuries. There's different types of pain that are due to maybe nerve damage. That's called neuropathic pain. People may have heard that. There's tissue damage, which is the nociceptive pain. There's inflammation that causes pain, like in conditions like arthritis. There's headache pain, back pain, structural pain. There's lots of ways that people can experience pain. And if you think about it, about 3 out of 4 people will personally witness chronic pain in one of their family members or friends. So a lot of us are walking around either in pain ourselves or dealing with a family member or someone that is really struggling to deal with chronic pain, which affects your whole life. It's very difficult to deal with it. It feels like you've lost control. A lot of times people struggle with depression as a result of it. So it can really make a difference if you can get some help and try to manage that pain in a good way.
And okay, what are opioids themselves?
Well, opioids, you know, here's the thing. Years ago, I want people to have a little bit of a history of what happened. So years ago, there was a short letter that was written to the editor of a very prestigious science journal. And that letter declared that people in chronic pain who receive opioids rarely become addicted to them.
Really or rarely?
Rarely.
Oh,
rarely.
Okay. All right. I'm glad I asked. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, because so this little letter that was written to the editor got published in this very prestigious journal, and people started paying attention. And the prescribers, the doctors primarily, thought, oh, they're telling us that these opioids are not that addictive. And then Big Pharma came into this, particularly Purdue Pharma, and they began to manufacture OxyContin and a lot of these other drugs that are opioid-based, and they were telling physicians that these drugs are are not addictive and they're very safe. And this was happening at a time when doctors were really evaluating pain patients, trying to help them more. There was this move to make pain the fifth vital sign, which meant that doctors would check, just like they would check your heart rate and your pulse, they would check you for pain. And there was a big push in the medical community to deal with people's pain and deal with it effectively. At that time, doctors were getting evaluated based on how well they managed pain. Reimbursement from hospitals was based on that. And the big pharma people were really pushing the use of these opioids. Well, of course, we know what happened. It's a very sad story. These opioids are very addictive. They're not harmless. They do hurt people. And they do, in many people's cases, they do lead to a life of addiction. Now, I say that, and I want to say that not everybody who's taking an opioid or a narcotic of some type is not an addict. There are people that these are being prescribed under the care of a physician very responsibly. There are people that are in that have cancer that are using these meds and some other conditions where they're responsibly being used. But the problem is, in general, Jerry, most people develop a tolerance to these meds, and they really aren't that effective for chronic pain in the long run.
Wow, that's interesting. By the way, since you know you use the word pharmacy sometimes, big pharma and so forth, are you aware of the fact that this interesting thing, since you're teaching at Liberty and so forth, that in the Greek New Testament, the word pharmakeia can be found just a few times? Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
I am.
Good. And it refers to, it's often translated as sorcery, but the idea behind it is, you know, that something, you know, that frankly the evil one uses to cause people to go astray. It can be found in Galatians 5 under the sins of the flesh, again, usually translated as sorcery. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with a pharmacy in terms of this. The store down the street that sells, you know, aspirin and allergy medicine and things like that. But what you're talking about is this much worse situation where this thing becomes life dominating. Now, is it if a doctor prescribes opioids to a patient who's struggling with pain, that in effect they become addicted beyond what they can control?
No, not necessarily.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
Why we have to be careful, because not about 10% of people will become addicted. And we think that's because we all have different genetic backgrounds. There's a real genetic predisposition to having an addiction.
Okay.
So some people can use an addictive substance and they won't become addictive. Other people will. So we don't know that going in. But what happens is that people move from use. So maybe they have a condition, they get a prescription for it, they begin to heal, but they continue to use the narcotic. What can happen then is that they can become addicted to it. The change from use to compulsive use is that there is a craving that the person can no longer control, and their brain gets rewired as a result of this, and they seek that reward, and then they become, like you say, driven to survival, because they have to have that that reward that they're seeking so desperately. So again, there are people taking narcotics responsibly, but what happened is that there was such an overprescription of these medications, and they don't work long-term for a lot of people, and yet people are continuing to take them because they don't know what else to do, and they definitely need some relief from pain. Now, I have to tell you, when I say that, there are a lot of people that get very angry with me because they're saying, hey, I need my opioids. I'm taking them responsibly. And if I didn't have them, I couldn't even function in my life. So that's a very different group than the people who are not using them effectively and are not having them prescribed anymore. The regulations on prescribing opioids have changed dramatically, and doctors now have to limit the use and the way that they prescribe, which means that people cannot continue to get these for long periods of time like they used to be able to do.
One of the things, too, about the opioid crisis, and by the way, as a crisis, you mentioned the statistic of 100 million, maybe 140 million Americans being in regular chronic pain. But what's the number that you would have of opioid addicts? But what I was going to say was this opioid crisis is a type of thing where the drugs, use of drugs and abuse of drugs has hit mainstream America, not just, yeah. you know, the hippie, yippie culture or whatever. This is ordinary. Your neighbor down the street might be struggling
That's
with
right.
this.
Your grandmother. We've actually dealt with grandmothers who have been selling their prescription meds for money on the street because they can get a lot of money. So, yeah, it happens innocently for a lot of people. You might have a teenager who has their wisdom teeth pulled, and they, in the past, they were prescribed an opioid for maybe given a 30-day supply. Well, you don't need a 30-day supply. You might need a day or so of it, or maybe not. You can use other types of over-the-counter drugs first to see if those work. When my daughter had her wisdom teeth removed, and this was years ago when we were unaware of how addictive and all these drugs could be, I took her in. I was given a bottle of a narcotic, an opioid, and a prescription for 30 days. And the doctor said to me, fill it immediately and just give it to her, which I did not do. I waited to see how she was doing. I gave her a couple of ibuprofens, and she was fine, and I never filled that prescription. Mm. So some people will fill it, just like the doctor says, and take it, and then find very quickly that they crave it and that they have an addiction towards that medication and continue to take it. And then what happens is they can't get it any longer, and they end up going on the street. And we have so many people now that are in our neighborhoods that are, you know, going to work every day, and they're taking heroin as a result of this.
Wow.
Because heroin is cheap on the streets, and it's one of the substitute drugs when you can't get the prescription of OxyContin or one of the other drugs.
Wow, we
so
only
it's
have a
real problem.
Yes, and we only have a few minutes left. Let's talk solutions. You talk solutions.
So there's so many other things that can be done. Dr. Cribbs, who's the physician who wrote this book with me, has sections in the book, Living Beyond Pain, about injections and structural treatments that you can get. He does this type of treatment that osteopathic physicians do called OMT, osteopathic manipulative treatment. And so if the source of your pain is musculoskeletal, he can treat it with his hands, actually, and has very good success with a number of the techniques that they're taught. There are blocks and injections and a whole lot of other things on the medical front. But one of the things that I do, and the reason I wanted to write this book, is that the perception of pain is in your brain. And as a result of these narcotics, the brain rewires, and you have to start doing things to change the perception of pain in your brain. And so we deal with people's thoughts. People in pain have a lot of catastrophic thoughts, and if you get a hold of those thoughts, or like Scripture says, take those thoughts captive, and you work on your thought life, your pain will actually decrease. You have emotional issues when you're dealing with chronic pain because it's so awful to be struggling and feeling bad all the time. But if you learn how to manage your emotions, your pain gets a whole lot better. There's a lot of lifestyle changes that you can make with your diet. Eating an anti-inflammatory mm-hmm. diet makes a difference. And it's just on and on. You can use biofeedback for your change, your pain. We went through and we looked at every type of treatment, whether it was evidence-based or not. And that's what we put in the book. We wanted people to know there are lots of alternatives and other things. The difference is that these other treatments take time. You have to work at them, but eventually you'll get better if you use a lot of these treatments that we talk about.
Okay, we have 40 seconds left. So if somebody is addicted to opioids, it is something that they can be cured from or changed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you need to go in and get treatment because it's a chronic brain disease, and that brain has to be changed and rewired. We know how to do that with people with addiction, but you probably need professional help to do that.
Huh. Okay, the name of your book is Living Beyond Pain. Is there a website for the book?
You can go on Amazon.com. You can go to my website, which is drlindamental.com, and you'll see all the books I've written there, and it'll take you in. But if you Google it, it'll come right up on any of the online Christian books, any of the places that people normally go.
Okay,
to Dr. buy a book.
Dr. Linda Mintel. Mintel is spelled M-I-N-T-L. I'm sorry, M-I-N-T-L-E.com. Dr.
Right.
Linda Mintel. No period there, I'm sure,
no
under
period.
The doctor. Okay, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Mintel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Okay, bye-bye.